Welcome to Excel Bytes, the podcast that delivers bite-sized Excel learning. Each episode focuses on a specific feature to help you get more from your spreadsheets. I'm Mike Thomas, and in this episode, I'm turning my attention to functions. Some people use the words formulas and functions interchangeably. There are similarities, but there are also differences. So, what is a function? The way I describe a function is it's like a pre-programmed formula. So, just like you type a formula into a cell, you do the same thing with a function. And just like a formula generates a value, be it text or a number or a date, so does a function. Hence, some people use the words formulas and functions interchangeably. There's actually about 500 functions built into Excel. Each one has a name to identify it, plus you can build your own. One of the questions I often get asked is, which functions should I learn? And it's a valid question. Nobody can store the names and the syntax of 500 functions in their head. I think there's a core set of maybe 50 or 60 functions that are worth knowing, but to be honest, it depends on the problem that you're trying to solve. I'll give you an example. This is actually a real-life example from about 15 years ago when I was at AstraZeneca. One of the PAs came to me one day and said, "Mike, I have a list of 500 names in an Excel sheet. They're all in lowercase and I need them in uppercase. Is there a quick way to do that without retyping them?" She then said, "If they were in Word, I could do this easily. I could select the names and press Shift and F3. But that doesn't work in Excel. The names were in column A from row 1 to 500, so I selected cell B1 and typed an equals sign, because that's how you enter a function. Start the cell with an equals sign, just like a formula. Then I typed the name of the function, upper. Then I typed an open bracket or parentheses, because that's how functions are entered. Equals, function name, open bracket. Then I typed A1. Because that was the cell that contained the text to be converted. Then I typed a closing bracket, and that was it. So I pressed enter. And what appeared in B1 was the text that was in A1 converted to capitals. Then I copied the function down column B, and within a few seconds, B1 to B500 was filled with the names from column A, but in uppercase. So my point is that me knowing that function, not just its name, but how it worked, what was put between the brackets, saved that person hours of retyping. Should that PA then have committed that knowledge to memory? Maybe, but she may never have needed to use that function again. What she might have done is told her colleague, "Mike's just shown me this great time saver in Excel." And her colleague might be, "So what?" Because her colleague never works with text in Excel. So saying, should I learn this function, should I learn that function, it's not an easy question to answer. It's like VLOOKUP. And yes, I know, VLOOKUP has been superseded by XLOOKUP, but the principle is still the same. Years ago, and it might be true today, I don't know, but years ago, employers and managers would measure somebody's Excel knowledge by whether they knew how to use the VLOOKUP function. So, you'd go for a job interview, the role involved heavy use of Excel, and part of that interview would be a short test related to Excel, or a chat about Excel. And the test or the chat would invariably include some questions about VLOOKUP. And this was regardless of whether the role required knowing about VLOOKUP. It's as if knowing how to use VLOOKUP made you an Excel god. The last job interview I attended was back in 2007, when I was interviewed for the trainer position at AZ. I had to deliver a 10-minute presentation, and the subject was VLOOKUP. And that was the subject for everyone who came for an interview, both before me and after me. I know that because I sat through several VLOOKUP presentations during my time at AZ. And I get it. It was a role for a trainer. And training Excel was part of the job. But why choose VLOOKUP? I've given you a couple of examples of functions. The upper function converts text to uppercase. And I know I didn't explain what VLOOKUP and XLOOKUP do, but if you ever go for a job interview for an Excel-related role, be prepared to talk about it. But in more general terms, as I said at the start of this piece, think of a function as like a pre-programmed formula. Its purpose is to generate a value, be it a number, a date, or some text, and then store that value in a cell. I'm not going to talk about every function, but I just want to give you a couple more examples. Suppose you need to calculate the number of working days between two dates, and we'll class working days as Monday to Friday. You can use the network days function. Within the brackets, you specify the first date and the second date, and the function does the calculation behind the scenes and puts the result, in this case, the number of working days, into the cell. Another function that you might need to use is the PMT function, and this function calculates loan repayments. So this is something that you might need to use in your personal life. You type equals PMT, open brackets, then specify the interest rate, the number of payments, and the loan amount, and it magically calculates the monthly repayment for you. So it's not really a case of learning as many functions as you can. It's a case of knowing whether a function exists that can help solve a problem, and if there is a function, what is that function's syntax? By syntax, I mean what goes inside the brackets. And by the way, when I talk about what goes inside the brackets, the technical term for that is an argument. So, for example, with the function equals upper A1, A1 is the argument. The reason I mention this is not to get all techie on you, but because sometimes you'll see an error message, and that error message refers to missing arguments or too many arguments. So you need to know what an argument is in the context of functions. Also, different functions require a different number of arguments. So whilst the upper function only needs one argument, the PMT function requires three arguments: the interest rate, the number of payments, and the loan amount. Some functions also have optional arguments, but I'm not going to get into that. To separate the arguments inside the brackets, you use a comma or a semicolon, and which you use depends on your computer's regional settings. So for the PMT function, you'd put the interest rate, then a comma or semicolon, then the number of payments, followed by a comma or semicolon, and then the loan amount. And sometimes you might need to combine multiple functions together. And I don't mean enter a function into a cell and enter another function into another cell that references the first cell. I mean actually combining, say, three functions into one mega formula, as I call it, in a single cell. That concept, functions inside functions, is often referred to as nesting. So as an example, suppose down column A, I have a list of first names, and in column B, I have a list of surnames, and the first names and surnames are in lowercase. In column C, I need to combine the first letter of the first name with the surname and convert the combined text into capital letters. To do that, I'd use the concat function, which is what's used to combine items together. I'd also need to use the left function to extract the first letter of the first name and the upper function to convert the combined text into uppercase. Now, I can't talk about functions without talking about dynamic arrays. Dynamic arrays were introduced into Excel a few years ago, and they've changed how formulas and functions work. Think of it like this. With a traditional function, you type the function name into a cell. It generates a single value, a number, a date, some text, and that single value is stored in that cell. With dynamic arrays, you enter a function into a cell, and within that function, you reference a range as one of the arguments. Suppose that range contains 20 cells, and each cell contains a value, so the function generates 20 values. But those 20 values are stored in that one cell. But because Excel can't display multiple values within a single cell, those 20 values expand down the column or across the row, starting from the cell that you type the function in. And that expanding is known as spilling. There are many benefits of dynamic arrays, including the fact that you don't have to copy the formulas down or across, and it uses less memory because there's only a single formula or function, and there are fewer recalculations to perform. Spill ranges expand or contract automatically as the source data changes. So, if my 20-cell range grew to 25 cells, the number of values generated by the function would grow too. Anyway, that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and I hope you found this episode useful. If you've got any questions or comments, please submit them via the contact form on the Excel Trainer website, or you can post them into the comments section, which you'll find at the bottom of the blog post page for this episode, also on the Excel Trainer website.